Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Years ago, I was at a worship service, not like this one at all. And I have to say, I'm probably more nervous today than I was then. As I looked down the center aisle, and this happened in the town of Ban Kun Hoi Krai, I saw a water buffalo walking down the center aisle. I could only assume he was Lutheran. I wasn't sure what to do. They never talked about that at the seminary. But I wasn't nervous. I really wasn't. I had a lot of good friends sitting in the, not pews, but chairs. And I noticed the older gentleman reaching for their hip pocket, and I knew what that meant. Out came the slingshots. And they shot this humongous animal, which was standing in the middle of our church right next to people. They shot him in the rump. The thing quickly turned around, knocked some women over. Forgive me, I had to laugh at that. I don't know, there's something wrong with this picture. And he quickly exited out through the narthex and out. No, this happened in Bangkok, Thailand, and that didn't make me nervous, but this did. Just filling in for, you know, we've got two wonderful pastors here, right? Pastor Henry Graff, and I love him. He called me up Friday, I believe it was, and said, "Pastor, can you fill in for me?" I said, "Oh, no, you've got the vid." And he said, "No, Adeline has it, but we are, you know, quarantined along with her, so I won't be back in time for service on Sunday." And I said, "Well, no problem. Yeah, I got you covered." And we talked a little bit more, like she's got not enough on her plate. You know, poor Adeline. I can't even imagine what she's going through, so we keep her in our prayers. But as I was hanging up, I was thinking to myself, "Well, what's the matter with the other pastor? I know him real well, too." Pastor Scott Hedke, my son. And about then, the phone rang. And it was Scott, my son. And he said, "Dad, can I throw you a wrinkle?" And I said, "I already know. I've got church on Sunday." "Well, yeah." And I said, "That's not the wrinkle?" And he said, "No, I have a wedding tonight, or I guess you do." I thought, I love my son. You know, he always has been full of surprises, and he was this week too. And so I had a wedding Friday night, married a wonderful couple. Nervous? Well, I've done it before. But any time you step into an arena that you're not familiar with, you get a little bit nervous. And so this morning, forgive me, please. You know, I think it was in about the year 2000 B.C., 2000 B.C., that the people called the Babylonians, they lived in Babylon. You probably figured that out. But about that time, in the middle of March, they celebrated New Year's like we did yesterday. I have no idea what their New Year's celebrations were like. Mine, yesterday, was feverishly trying to write a sermon, Henry really threw me a curve when he said, "You can preach on anything you've ever wanted to say, but never had the opportunity." So I thought, oh my goodness, you know, you don't tell a retired pastor this, you know, it's just, that's dangerous. You're entering into kind of some uncharted, talk about COVID, uncharted territory. So I'm feverishly trying to write a sermon, watching over my left shoulder the Rose Bowl parade and typing on my computer. My sermons might not be much, but they're in color. And I think, you know, even if they aren't much, they look good. And you can take a look at it later. But in any case, I was doing this. I don't know what the Babylonians did, but I know they did one thing. They wrote New Year's resolutions. I don't speak Babylonian, so I don't know what they called it, but translated into English, it would be New Year's resolutions. And that's always a custom here in the States too, right? And I'll get to God's word in just a second, but this is fascinating. You know, there are 10 most used New Year's resolutions, and the first two, I'll tell you what they are. I forget the rest. You can both fill in the blanks. One, I'm going to exercise more in 2022 than I did before, and the other one is I'm going to lose some weight. Those are the top two that people come up with, and still, we're overweight, you know, and we seem like we don't really follow through just the best on our New Year's resolutions. You know, there are things that we've got to do, and therein lies the difficulty. You know, we want to better our lives, take good care of our health ourselves. We want to, you know, shed some pounds. I could do that. I mean, I don't think, you know, you probably wouldn't notice it. But, yeah, that could help me out. I go to see my cardiologist, and he says, you know, you should be doing more exercise. And I tell him I'm doing as much as my feet will allow, but I can't walk too far because my circulation in my feet really sucks. I mean that. It doesn't push blood down there. It sucks it out of it, and I can't walk. And so I, you know, I said, what do you think I should do? And he just looked at me, and I know the look. It's something that should have been happening way back when, you know. That's the look my cardiologist gives me. But we want to take care of our spiritual well-being. You know, we want to sit down and write up a resolution that says maybe something like, I'm going to come to church every Sunday. Now, I knew no word got out that I was preaching today, and that's why the low attendance. And I'm going to talk to the secretary why not later. But I'm 75. I'm not a fool. Okay, but I'm going to come every Sunday. And then somehow, you know, golf might get in the way of that, or a donut, or a cup of coffee, or visiting friends, or I don't know, maybe just the pillow. And all of a sudden, we break that resolution. I want to pray more in 22 than I did in 20. And so we might start off with kind of a regimen of prayer. You know, the average Lutheran, some years ago I read this, I'm sure that all of you pray much more than this now, but the average Lutheran some years ago prayed once before the meal, once after the meal, three times a day, so that's six, and they prayed at night, that's seven, and they rounded it off with the Lord's Prayer, eight. And when they add that up, the statistician, and I don't know what kind of education you have to get a job like this, but counting the number of seconds that those eight took, it was embarrassingly low. And so we might want to do that, you know, work on our prayer life, work on this, work on our Bible study, have family devotions. We might want to do all kinds of things in the spiritual realm of our lives. We might want to do something with our social life. So we make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to have family and friends over more often than what I have had before. And I'm going to go and visit some long-lost cousins that live in who knows where. But I'm going to go and enrich that part of my life. And I don't know, you know, all kinds of resolutions to, you know, better our lives, but we don't do them. History has told us, if you don't believe me, look at the internet, that never lies, right? And it says that they don't keep their commitments, they don't keep their reservations or resolutions. Getting my reservations mixed up here. Their resolutions, they don't keep them. They don't keep them long at all. They let them go, or they filter them, or they readjust them, or they reinterpret them. And everything said and done, don't do it. Why? Something we got to do. And our lives are so full of all kinds of stuff that all we need to do is add 10 more resolutions, right? And I'm sure we're going to remember them. We're going to take, accurate aim at them and not do them. It's today, just a wild thing to say. Don't make New Year's resolutions. Don't make New Year's resolutions, but make old year resolutions. Because they're done already, right? Now, there's a rhyme to my reason here. Think about it. If we could resolve things in the past, let's do it. But we can't. But our God can. Jesus Christ can. He really has changed our whole life right up there. He made some old year resolutions of your entire life. The sins that you committed in 2021 don't exist anymore. Why? Because his old year resolution resolved those problems already. Don't drag them around with you anymore. They're gone. Remember what I said during confession absolution? God chooses to remember our sins no more. They don't even exist as far as he's concerned. When we drag them around, what are we doing? We're taking a look at what Jesus Christ did, past tense, way back 2,000 years ago. We look at what Jesus Christ did and say to ourselves, well, we got to kind of qualify that a little bit. We got to do a little bit more. And so I'm going to keep that sin in the back of my mind. Let it roll around. Let it ferment. Let it sit there. Don't do that. Number one, it's an embarrassment. Because you can't do that. Number two, it's an insult to Jesus Christ. Picture what he did up on that cross. And I didn't realize it till I walked back there this morning. It's not quite as big as I thought it was. The cross he died on was quite a bit bigger than this, but picture him, right now, picture him hanging up there, dying, saying, Lord, why have you forgotten me? Why have you abandoned me? Did the Father really ignore Jesus Christ? No, he didn't ignore him. He turned his back on him. Because of 2021, because of things that were unresolved in your life and mine. Your sins are forgiven. There's no simpler way of saying it than that. They are forgiven. Right above my entrance door, when you come in our house or our little condo, I underscore little condo, there's one of my favorite plaques. I'm not into plaques. I've got a cousin. When we go and visit her, Shirley, don't anybody ever tell her that, she's got 14 plaques on every wall in her house. We're not that way. We've just got a couple. This one we see when we walk down our stairs every morning. It's a quotation out of Psalm 118, verse 24. It says, this is the day, can you finish it with me? This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. How happy we can all be. How happy. Absolutely everything that we've ever done wrong in our entire lives has been forgiven thanks to the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thanks to the King that they were just singing about a moment ago. How many kings do you know that would do that for you? Absolutely none but one. How many fathers would give their son to do that for you? Nobody. Just our Father, Son, Holy Spirit, our triune God, loves you and me so much. I don't know, I get to the end of the year, I look back and I think, oy vey. What have I done? And God looks back at our 2021 and says, nothing. You know, what's the problem, Bob? Why the sad face? Why the somber look? Celebrate. Have a little Christmas cheer because of what is here. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has come to make an old year resolution of absolutely everything we've done wrong in days gone by, including this one. I was going to have you all do this, and then I rethought it, and I thought, no, Bob, somebody's going to tip over, and you're going to get sued. I was going to have you all rise. If you feel up to it, just do it. I just got a kind of a cute thing to show you. Stand up. Go ahead, if you can. All right. Now, steady yourself on a chair in front of you or next-door neighbor, and raise your left foot. Just wanted to make sure you're going to enter the new year on the right foot. Okay, you can sit down now. And this is the right foot. Know that your sins are forgiven. We're saved people of God, saints. Yes, believe it or not. Look at yourself in the mirror and see somebody with a white robe on. Somebody that's got their sins forgiven. Somebody that's heading for heaven. In the meantime, let's rejoice and be glad in this day. In His name, this is my prayer for you. Amen.